This podcast is brought to you in part by Coke, Buffalo Wild Wings, Southern Immediate Care, Guaranteed Labels, Central State Bank, Sunrise Docks, Banker's Bounty, Dr. Thomas Dudney, and the Green Monster Fishing Light. Now, back to Bubba on the Lake.
Hey, it's Bubba.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bubba on the Lake. I'm your semi-retired, mostly washed-up host, formerly of the Rick and Bubba Show, and we want to welcome you. What a beautiful day it is. At least I hope it's beautiful where you are. I'm feeling very blessed today. Every day is a blessing. We all know that, but some days just feel a little extra, and I'm kind of in that mood today. We're broadcasting from the Mella Yella Studio, I should say. And, of course, y'all are messing me up. Our website is BubbaOnTheLake.com, BubbaOnTheLake.com. You can drop me an email, Bubba@BubbaOnTheLake.com. And, of course, our message line, which is always entertaining and insightful, 308-BIG-LAKE. That's 308-244-5253. Or, easier to remember, 308-BIG-LAKE. Well, folks, don't forget, we need you to subscribe, turn on notifications, all that. We don't want you to miss anything, and we always want you to follow us on social media, subscribe, all of that stuff we have to ask you to do now in the podcast world. It's just part of the gig. We appreciate all of you that have done that. We appreciate all of you that are listening. We appreciate all of you that are hanging in there with us. We have a great podcast. We have spoken with Jack State head football coach Charles Kelly. Charles Kelly is an amazing man. He has done a lot of things. He has a well of information. Jack State is his first opportunity to be a head coach, but he has won two national championships, one with Florida State, one with Alabama. He's going to talk about those and a lot of other things. I had a small window to sit down with Coach Kelly because he was about to go to practice, but I could have talked to him for 3 hours. Been very fortunate to get to know him a little bit better. We share the same lunch table several days, and he's just a lot of fun. And I know that the Jack State folks are excited about having him, and they're looking forward to it. And I tell you, he's got some really good-looking football players on campus, so we'll see how all that plays out. But we're going to talk to him. We're trying to run down the lovely Betty Lou. She's been strangely absent from the last few podcasts. She's been in the kitchen rattling them pots and pans, and we haven't seen much of her. I know. I'm just playing. She does cook a lot, but I'm joking. That's kind of a joke. She can come in here anytime she wants to, but she... she keeps a very busy schedule between hair, nails, whatever exercise thing she does. It sounds like yogurt. And let's see, pickleball. She plays a lot of pickleball. And the guys, I know I shouldn't phrase it this way, but the guys here that play a lot tell me she's getting really good. Now, strangely absent is me playing pickleball. But, you know, some of us got to work. Some of us got to get out here and rub two nickels together and make it happen. So, you know, one of these days, baby, one of these days. Now, Betty's a great athlete. She was not an athlete in high school. She was a cheerleader. But she took up tennis, and she's very fast, and she's still in great shape. And I'm amazed by her. I really am. I come in every day, and I look, and I go, so I'm married to that. I can't believe it. She is a special lady, that is for sure, on a lot of fronts. And many of you know that. You enjoy hearing her here on the podcast. So we'll try to scare her up for her comments and thoughts a little bit later. Several of you have sent emails and asked questions, things that only she can answer, and we'll try to get to that. I did want to note before we got going, we've had a couple of pretty famous deaths here the last few weeks. One I wanted to touch on briefly, Hulk Hogan. Now, I'm not a big wrestling fan, professional wrestling, WWE or whatever it's called now. But even if you're not, and I look, some of y'all love that, and that's fine. It just never was my cup of tea. Even if you were not a professional wrestling fan, you knew who Hulk Hogan was. He y'all, please quit. You are distracting me. Hulk Hogan, he just covered a lot of venues. I mean, he got into acting. I mean, everybody knows who that giant blonde-haired man wearing a bandana was, okay? Everybody. He was transcendent. There you go. I was trying to get to that. Thank you. He led a life that was wide open, much of it. I was very happy to hear him in a video talking about his life and the mistakes he made and the fact that he got back into church, gave his life to Christ, and was a professed Christian. Now, he's had some deals along the way. Now, we all know that. But it did my heart good to see that toward the end of his life. What a physical specimen he was. Do you remember how much bigger he looked than Rocky in the movies? You remember when Sylvester Stallone was next to him? I mean, he looked like a midget. Oh, you can't say that. I'm sorry. A small person. You know what I mean? He was a huge hunk of a man. And, you know, he will be missed in entertainment circles. But good to hear that he got his life together. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here. I want to get back with Coach Kelly and try to round Betty up. We got a lot going on here, some other things we got to tell you about. And, guys, we're up to podcast 24. We thank all of you for allowing us to do that. Our plan was to get 40 podcasts in the first calendar year. We started in March, so we're ahead of schedule. We are going to take a few weeks off here and there along the way for vacation and other things, and we'll tell you about some of that coming up. But we're moving along, we're pacing well, and thank all of you for allowing it to happen. We will be right back in just a moment.
You're listening to Bubba. Whoa. Bubba on the Lake.
At Central State Bank, we believe community banking is more than just transactions. It's about relationships. For over 100 years, we've been helping neighbors grow, businesses thrive, and dreams become reality. Because when you bank local, you invest in your community. Central State Bank, large enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Visit us today or learn more at centralstatebank.com. Member FDIC.
A lot of life can happen between sips of Dasani. You know, the life moments, big and small, that are worth getting thirsty for. Like organizing a family movie night under the stars. Or hearing an old favorite song and having an impromptu dance party. Or finding a new dinner recipe that the whole family loves.
Mm.
The crisp, clean taste of Dasani was made for all of life's thirst-worthy moments. Dasani. Because life happens between sips.
I am so happy to announce that our family dentist, Dr. Thomas Dudney, has joined my podcast as a sponsor. My entire family have been patients of Dr. Dudney and his team for over 20 years. Now, I'm going to be telling you a lot more about all of his services and what he does, but I have to tell you, the veneers that he gave me changed my life. I had no idea how big an impact that would have. You can call him today at 205-663-6545. Or visit them at thomasdudney.com and find out more.
Hey, hey, this is James Spann, and you are listening to Bubba on the Lake.
Well, we are here with the new leader of the Jack State Gamecocks, Coach Charles Kelly. Coach, welcome to Jack State.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I've enjoyed my time since I've been here, but now it's time to start playing.
Coach, you just come off media days. You've been asked every question under the sun. Was there any that was really stupid that I should avoid in this interview?
No. I mean, I think the biggest thing is people want to know, hey, can you match the success that Jack State's had the last couple of years? And that's a valid question. But every year in college football, especially the way college football is now, you're rebuilding a team every year. So it wouldn't matter who the coach was, you're going to have a new team every year. And now the thing is, can we make a team out of the guys that we have?
Coach, tell us a little bit, for those that may not be familiar with your past, about your high school and how you ended up playing at Auburn.
So, you know, I went to high school at G.W. Long, Southeast Alabama. My dad was a high school football coach and, you know, grew up around it. This is my 52nd fall camp. I started going to fall camp with my dad when I was 5 years old. So I grew up around it. I knew at a young age I wanted to be a coach. You know, played four sports in high school. And then, you know, when I got ready to go to college, you know, I had some offers from some schools. But, you know, I always wanted to play, you know, for Coach Dye. Coach Dye was kind of the guy I looked up to when I was growing up as a coach. And so I walked on at Auburn, which was one of the toughest things, you know, that I probably could have ever chosen to do. But I'm glad I did it, because I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. I wanted to be around the best football coaches in the country. And at that time, I felt like, you know, Auburn had the best. I was very fortunate to play under defensive coordinator Wayne Hall, who, you know, at the time was probably the top DC in the country. So I learned a lot of football, you know, from him, Coach Dye, the other assistant coaches. And, you know, I knew I wanted to coach. Now, I wanted to be a high school, you know, head football coach like my dad. That was my goal when I graduated from school. And I started to work at Central Phoenix City with Wayne Trawick. He was one of the top coaches in the, you know, high school football at that time. And coached there with him 3 years. And then Coach Hall came back to me and said, listen, I want you to come be a graduate assistant. And I remember wrestling with it and thinking, you know, I don't know if that's what I want to do. But I did. I knew I'd learn a lot of football, and I went back, did that. We were fortunate. That was the 93 season. Terry Bowden was the head coach at Auburn. Wayne was the defensive coordinator. We went 11-0. And then, you know, I was one of those guys. I didn't have enough money to be a GA more than 1 year, so I had to find me a job. And just so happened that Coach Burgess had a running back job come open. It was late in the summer, and came up and interviewed with him. And I'd been working on the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, I told Coach, I said, I can coach anything. And so that's what got me started. And then, you know, in college football, it's just a lot of it's who you're around. I had the fortune of working for Coach Burgess. And then later on, I went on and I worked with Jay Thomas at Nicholls State. I worked with Patrick Nix at Henderson State. Then I worked with Chan Gailey at Georgia Tech. Then Paul Johnson. Both those guys had won national championships, just like Coach Burgess. And then I went on to Florida State, was with Jimbo. We won a national championship there. Went with Jeremy Pruitt to Tennessee. Pruitt and I had coached together at Florida State, so I knew what kind of, you know, coach he was. And from there, I went with Coach Saban to Alabama. Probably learned as much football, you know, in 4.5 years as you could possibly learn. Went on and worked with Coach Prime at Colorado. And then I had a chance to come back to Auburn last year with Coach Freeze. And Coach Freeze gave me the opportunity. And honestly, I thought that was the first time I'd had a chance to coach at my alma mater since I'd been in coaching. And I thought that's probably where I'll retire. And then when the Jack State job came open, Greg Sykes called me and said, would you be interested in coaching there? And I said, well, I'll walk up there to be the head coach. So that's how it worked out.
Coach, you quite a laundry list of great coaches you've worked with. Who were some of the contemporary players at Auburn that you played with, just so everybody can kind of set the time frame of when you were there?
You know, when I was there, early in my career, Jeff Berger was our starting quarterback. Tracy Rocker was a defensive lineman.
You didn't have to fight Jeff Berger at any point, did you?
No, I tried to avoid that at all costs.
He liked to brawl a little bit, didn't he?
He did, and he was as competitive a guy as I've ever been on a team with.
He's here with us now at Jack State helping to raise money.
Absolutely, and he's as competitive a person as I've ever been around.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to tell him no. I played half a round of golf with him. I saw how competitive he was. We were in Clay County, and he was playing like we were at the Masters.
You know, anything he does it wide open. But, you know, he led us to the first SEC championship in a long time. And then, of course, you know, was good friends with Tracy Rocker. He and I have had a chance to coach together. Stacy Searles is one of my best friends in the whole world, he and Rodney Garner. So there were a lot of guys, you know, and I had a lot of great teammates, you know, after Jeff left. Reggie Slack was our quarterback. Lawyer Tillman was a wide receiver. I could go on and on about the great players that, you know, we had at that time. But more than great players, they were great people, and they were great teammates. And, even all those championships we won down there, you look at those rings and you go back, you think about the people that were made up those teams, and that was what was special.
You coached here with Coach Burgess, one of your first coaching jobs. Tell us about Coach Burgess. I heard you tell a recruiting story the other day. You may or may not want to share that at this point, but what was it like coaching with Coach Burgess here?
You know, I honestly, looking back after coaching with Coach Saban and being around him, and in retrospect, looking back, working for Coach Burgess, they were so similar, you know, in how they ran things. The personalities might have been a little bit different, but Coach Burgess was as organized a guy as I've ever been around. And he knew exactly what he wanted, and he knew exactly how he wanted it. He was a very tough. He's one of the toughest men that I've ever been around. And everybody around him that was successful had to be tough. He was a really good recruiter. He was great, and you could take him on a home visit, and he did a great job because he was genuine. He was authentic, and people, you know, believed in what his vision for this place was, and, you know, there's no arguing what he did for this university and bringing the national championship here. I mean, that.
Now, you never got in trouble for stepping out on a scholarship offer or anything, did you? Just by chance, just wondering.
Well, Coach was, I'm telling you now, Coach was about evaluating the right kind of people. And I will tell this, one time, it was my first year, and he knew I was gung-ho about recruiting. And we were recruiting a defensive back named Delvin Hughley, who was a great player for us here. And we couldn't really see Delvin on – back then, you didn't have all these highlight tapes. So you had to go watch them. So I went down to watch him play, and he told – you know, he said, go watch him, see what you think. So I watched him play, and I was watching him play basketball. You know, you could see how he could move. I can tell if a corner can play man-to-man in about 4 minutes in a basketball game. So it was obvious he could play. But there was another guy playing for him, and, you know, I kept watching him, and I'm like, he is some kind of athlete now, big power forward. And I'm thinking, you know, so I'm sitting with Rodney Bivens, and I was like, you know, I said, Coach, we're going to offer Delvin. I said, we need to go ahead and offer this other guy too. So anyway, then that was on a Friday night. We get back Saturday morning, and Coach Burgess is going through his list, and he – goes around the table, and he gets to me, and he said, hi. He said, you watch Delvin? And I said, yes, sir. He said, what'd you think? And I said, Coach, he's quick. He's got ball skills. He can, you know, he can play man-to-man. And you could see that he'd tackle on tape. That was a thing that Coach Burgess could see. He knew he could tackle people. He knew he was physical. He just wanted to know if he could cover somebody. So I said, yeah, he can. So Coach started going around the table, and I said, Coach. And he just looked up above those glasses, and he said, what? And I said, Coach, they got a big old power forward down there that plays. And I said, Coach, we ain't got I mean, I don't know if we got anybody that looks like him on the team. And he said, and? And I said, well, I went ahead and offered him too. And and his comment was, he just reminded me that we weren't recruiting a basketball team. We were recruiting football players. So we get done with the meeting, and he got, I'm a little whooped, you know, and he walks around and he says, you think he's that good a player? And I said, yes, sir. I said, Coach, he's some kind of athlete. And I had not seen him play on the football field, but I knew people were recruiting him. And, you know, he said, well, if we're going to offer him, let's try to get him. And that, I think that guy wound up, you know, playing in the NFL for about 8 or 9 years. But
did you get him or did he go somewhere else?
No, Joe Pate from Arkansas came in there. Joe Pate, they stole him. Coach Pate always did a great job in this area of evaluating. And when he got that SEC offer, it was a little too much for us to handle.
Coach, you coached against your alma mater in a national championship game that you won at Florida State. What did that feel like, and what does it feel like to be on a team? You've done all the recruiting. You've done the spring. You've done the summer, and it all comes together. You win a national championship. You're at the top of your profession. That has to be outstanding.
That was as surreal a moment for me as anything that's ever happened in coaching. I was that was the first time I had ever played against Auburn in the entire time I'd been in coaching. At that time, that was 2013. I'd been coaching, 23 years? It was crazy. I can remember walking on the field, and when I came out of the tunnel, I remember hearing the fight song. And I remember that hit me. And you know, of course, I had one of my best friends, Rodney Garner, was coaching the D-line for Auburn. We met in the middle of the field. Going through warm-ups, I can remember everything was – our guys were so excited. I was excited. I remember the night before I couldn't sleep. But I had a calmness the next day. I do remember this, though. When that ball kicked off in the Rose Bowl, when we kicked it off, it was like nobody was in the stands. I mean, I could hear the players, you know, talking on the field. I mean, grunting. I mean, it was just like nobody. It was like coaching at Central Phoenix City. It was like nobody was in the stands. And it was a great football game. They had great players, great coaches. And I can just remember when we won that game at the end, it was just like when the game ended, then I heard everything. It was crazy. And then we went in the locker room. It was one of those surreal moments. And I knew I was lucky enough to be around a lot of good players and a lot of good coaches that now I had an opportunity to, you know, say I'd been a part of a national championship team. I can remember that bus ride on the back, on the way back to the hotel, getting on the bus. It was just like, I can't believe this is happening. And then waking up the next day before we flew back to Tallahassee, that was something, and you never take that for granted.
Your bus ride back was better than mine because we were on a bus with Auburn fans. It was kind of quiet.
Yeah, it was a back and forth game. There were so many plays in that. I say so many plays. You know, there are always four or five plays in the game that are going to affect the outcome of the game. You just don't ever know when those plays are going to occur.
Now, you didn't call the fake punt, did you, that really turned the momentum around in that game?
Well, Jimbo asked me, you know, we had worked – it's crazy because we had worked this fake punt, and we had faked like three punts during the season. I was a special teams coordinator, and, you know, when you work for an offensive head coach, the thing you learn is the thing that they love most, more than anything, is calling plays. They want to call plays. So they want the ball back.
Right.
So if you're the defensive coordinator, they don't care how you get the ball back. Just get the ball back. If you're the special team.
Get me on the headset.
Get me the ball back. So Jimbo, you know, we had worked this fake punt, and I had changed the formation. We had worked it for a while. It was a little reverse, and we had worked it for a while. Well, I changed the formation when I'd done the breakdown, and he walks out there one day, and he said, why don't we change the formation? I said, Coach, because even if they figure it out, I said, this guy over here on the other side, he ain't going to tackle Carlos Williams. And Carlos was the guy. You know, we always thought, even on offense, we thought players first, plays second. So we were thinking how to get in our best guy's hand. We actually had three fakes that we'd worked, you know, going in. We had a lot of time to work. But we went with that fake first. We actually had another one planned for later in the game. We were going, because nobody ever fakes two in a game. So we were like, all right, if we need this again, we got another one. But when, you know, we were struggling the first half, and offensive, we were struggling on both sides. They were moving the ball. We couldn't move the ball. And it was just a point in the game. Jimbo was like, hey, you got this thing ready? And I was like, yes, sir. And we went with it. And, you know, it did. We went on to score on that drive. And then later on, we, you know, it was crazy how these games work. It's like we were on kickoff return, and I can remember breaking them down thinking, well, why are we working these kickoff returns? They kick it out of the back of the end zone every time. But we were like, okay, if it's not deeper than 5 yards, we're bringing it out. And
because that works against them too. They're not used to tackling.
They're not used. Right. That's exactly what we thought. And we were over on the sideline, and we'd been running this one return. And Jay Graham was our running backs coach. He'd helped me with kickoff return. And I asked Jay, I said, what do you think right here? And he said, you like counter? And I said, let's run it. And we ran the counter left return, and old Kermit, he hit that thing running. And I mean, that was those were two big plays in the game, but there were a lot of big plays. I mean, Nick Marshall made a lot of plays in that game. Their running back was, you know, unbelievable.
Trey Mason,
he was really good. They had a good offensive line. And then defensively, I mean, they caused us a lot of problems. But you know, I give Jimbo a lot of credit, too. We won that game in a two-minute situation at the end of the game. And people think, well, it's, you know, we had good players, don't get me wrong. But we had done that two-minute situation when we had been back in Tallahassee. And I'm telling you now, Jimbo was not happy with it at all. I mean, he just went off. And then, you know, when we got to California and started practicing, that last day of practice, when we did that two-minute drill, I mean, it went just like it was supposed to. I can remember every coach on the sideline when we got that ball with, I think, minute and 30-something seconds left.
Trey Mason could have took a knee and made it a little more difficult, but who thinks to do that when you're wide open, right?
And then, you know, analytics, we try to look at that now and say, all right, hey, when we do this, just get down. But we felt like when we got the ball, everybody on that sideline was confident because of what we had done, the preparation. And that's one thing I learned from Jimbo is it's all the situations. He was a great situation coach, you know, whether it be third down or 2 minute or end of the game. You know, he taught us a lot about that. And we just played that night. Auburn played better than we did. We just played the situations better, and that's how we won the game.
Coach, we're just minutes away from practice. I want to be respectful of your time, but tell us a little bit about coaching for Coach Saban. I mean, there hasn't he's the GOAT.
He is, and, you know, I tell everybody, coaching for Coach Saban, they say, well, what was he good at? He was good at everything, everything. I mean, he was as knowledgeable, and I said earlier – you know, about he and Coach Burgess knew everything that was going on in the building, everything. Special teams, defense, offense, he knew it. Coach Saban was masterful at everything. He understood what he wanted, and he had a knack for making everybody in the building push in that same direction. He was a fabulous evaluator of talent. Everybody thought, well, we just got all the 5 stars. Well, no, not necessarily, because a lot of those guys that he recruited were not 5 stars when he first started recruiting them. In fact, there have been a lot of guys that only had 1 or 2 offers that, you know, he made a decision to recruit. They wound up being really good football players.
And not all five stars end up playing like five stars, but it appeared that Alabama had a skill for when they got a five star, they played like it.
Right, and that came to the development. So I always feel like, and I want it to be like this in our program, I always felt like Coach did a great job. There was three things that we did every day in our building. We evaluated, number one. We evaluated players. We evaluated what we were doing. He evaluated personnel. He evaluated coaches. He evaluated support staff. All right, and then we recruited. We evaluated and looked, okay, this is what we need, or this is what he needed in a coach. And he recruited that guy. But this is what separates the great coaches from the good coaches, is when you do that, now you got to develop. You got to develop your coaches. You got to develop your support staff. You got to develop your players. And he was a master at that. And that's what made him so successful for so long. And again, we had great players when I was there and, you know, before I was there. But he... Everybody in that building had something to do with us being successful, and there was nobody on a different page than he was.
We see now and we hear stories about his sense of humor. Did you see that coming out a lot then, or was that kind of stuck in the background?
No. I mean, Coach liked to – listen, when it was time to work, he worked. But, I mean, he would – I mean, he was always funny. I mean, he – You know, he would say things that, I mean, I probably shouldn't say on here, but he's, you know, there was a lot of times. For me personally, my favorite times were when we were, you know, when we were out recruiting, when we would go, you know, to visit schools and do home visits and things like that. I wanted to show him how hard I could work. You know, I'm not very talented, but I always felt like I could outwork people. And I remember one day we were in Atlanta somewhere, and, you know, I've said this before. God blessed him with a lot of things, all right, but patience ain't one of them. But anyway, we're working, and he finally said, hey, man, you got to stop. He said, I mean, let me get a pack of peanuts or something. He goes, I know you guys, you act like you don't eat when you're out recruiting. He said, I mean, man's got to eat sometime. But anyway, so we stopped, get something to eat, and we went and did this home visit. And I'm looking at my watch, and we get through with the home visit pretty good, and I got about an hour and 40 minutes before our next home visit. And I'm thinking, oh boy. I said, he ain't gonna want to sit around now. I said, this is gonna be bad. So I told him, I was like, listen, we got a little bit of a drive right here, Coach. And I said, I know it's been a long day. I said, I'm gonna stop up here, get us something to eat, and then we'll go for a ways. He goes, all right. So I was only about the home visit we were at, it was only about 10 minutes to the other house. I'll never forget, I drove from, it was over in Gwinnett County, and I drove all the way to Dawsonville, Georgia, and back to Gwinnett County.
Did he ever realize what you were doing?
I don't know if he did or not. I don't think he did, but I was like, I am not going to sit over in this parking lot and be parked. You know, but it's just, you just made things work out. But he had a great sense of humor. Because listen, the thing I learned from Coach too, he was very demanding, but it wasn't demeaning. And he demanded the most. And I mean, if he told you, you know, if he expected you to do something or asked you to do something, he meant for it to be done. And if it wasn't done, he was going to confront you or confront the player or anybody else at that time. If he didn't ask you or didn't tell you, he just went on about his business. And I just think that's what made him so successful. I know he got a lot from his mom and his dad. He talked about them a lot, how they influenced him. The stories about his dad, you know, as a Pop Warner coach and the influences he had, and then his mom was such an influence. And of course, Miss Terry, his wife, was, you know, I tell people a lot. She had a lot to do with the, you know, the success he had over the years.
Coach, you've played in bigger venues with more seats, but what's it going to feel like when you hit this field? The marching Southerners are playing, the crowd's cheering, and you're the head coach, first time out.
Well, first thing is, with the Southerners here, there's nobody in America that can touch them.
That's right.
I mean, my daughter was born here in Jacksonville, and you know, that the one thing that they still remember is how good the Southerners were, you know, even when they were, you know, when she was small. And then our fans, you know, we got fans that love football. I mean, we're in a great location in a 5-hour radius where we can recruit a lot of good football players. Their people can come see them play. And then just to, you know, to be the head coach, Deshaun Davis asked me the other day, he's like, Coach, he said, you nervous? I wouldn't call it nervous. I want to make sure that we're prepared. And I said, you know, I've been working for this all my life. So just go out there and do what you've been trained to do. Lean on the things that you learned from these other coaches and, you know, your past. And you make decisions based off of all the information that you got. So we try to gather as much information as we can and make the best decisions.
Coach, one more question. I'll let you get to practice. What's the Gamecocks going to look like this year? Offense and defense, what can we expect?
Well, on offense, you know, I think Rich Rod and, you know, of course, I'm glad to have Coach Trickett back. That was our top recruit that we got last year. I thought they did a good job of running the football and being fast on offense. We want to do that. We want to be a fundamentally sound, fast offense. Now, we want to be able to change tempos. We want to be able to run the ball to win, but we got to throw the ball to score. I just think in today's football, to have a chance in every game, you got to be able to do both. But we got to be able to run. On defense, this is what we want to make sure. We want to have a ball-out mentality. We want to play with relentless effort. We want to be violent tacklers, and we want to be able to execute elite. So when we get in those situations, we got to be able to execute, because I don't care how much college football has changed in the last 5 years, what it takes to win hasn't changed. It's going to people that can execute, people that can take care of the football, and they get the football on defense. And then on special teams, who I'm excited to have Maxwell Thurman back, you know, we want to be the difference. We want to be, you know, we want to be attacking. We want to be aggressive. We want to be able to block punts. We want to be able to return punts. We want to be able to fake punts. We don't want to sit back and be conservative. We want to create plays in the game that can help us win the game. So, and when people watch us play, I want them to say, man, these guys are fast, they're physical, they're tough, they are disciplined, and they will compete. If you do all of those things, you'll win all the games you're supposed to and some of them that you're not supposed to.
Coach, thank you. We're so excited to have you at Jack State, and we're looking forward to a great season. I could sit here and talk to you for 3 hours, but you got work to do.
Well, we can do that, but I'm ready to go to work.
And, of course, you can come out and see Coach Kelly live at the Apothecary Draft House on the square in Jacksonville. Every Monday night we have a show called Jack State Live where we reflect on other sports and things going on campus for 30 minutes. Then we have the Coach Charles Kelly Show, which is an hour, all of it hosted by Eli Gold. It's going to be on radio and TV. Check your local listings for that. Coach Kelly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's Bubba on the Lake. Bubba on the Lake.
Another staff meeting. Another push for cross-selling. Another awkward silence. Then Banker Bounty happened. The first referral platform made just for banks. One app that empowers every employee, not just your top producers, to bring in business. No more spreadsheets, no more silos, just clarity, culture, and actual growth in real time. Banker Bounty fixes more than your referral program. It fixes your momentum. Go to BankerBounty.com. Watch the video. Book your free demo. Banker Bounty. Create, manage, and track referrals in real time.
Attention business owners, print buyers, and production managers. Guaranteed Labels is here to help you focus less on your printing, labels, and decals, and more on growing your business. Guaranteed Labels, your dependable printer for all types of industries. Quality, on-time shipments, and stock programs set us apart. If you're needing to focus less on your printing and more on your business, trust Guaranteed Labels. 800-741-7055 or GuaranteedLabels.com. Guaranteed Labels, still sticking since 1988.
You know one thing I love about Buffalo Wild Wings? You can get wings with any of their 26 sauces and dry rubs for takeout and delivery. That's like bringing an entire B-dubs home with you, which you can't do. I tried. I've knocked down so many walls, only to then be told to halt construction because I'm not zoned to be a sports bar. Kind of just looks like a big pergola or something because of the lack of walls. Well, at least these 26 sauces and dry rubs are available to go. Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's go, sports bar.
Hello again, everybody. This is Herb Winch's, owner of The Landing at Parker Creek and The Landing at Harper Point. You are listening to my dear friend, Bubba on the Lake.
Well, she's back by popular demand, the one and only Betty Lou Bussey. Honey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Not sitting on the back porch this time, but I'm doing great.
Yeah, got to point that mic
right at you. Got to point it right here in the mouth. Yep.
You have not got used to the microphone yet, the proper distance. You'd have it up in your eye or under your chin or pointing. You'll get to talking and the mic just falls away going like a compass going in an opposite direction.
Well, it's like my hand. I move my hands when I talk.
So well, you're free
I
to do that.
Move the microphone with the microphones in my hand is the problem here. So anyway. But hey,
well, look,
how about that podcast? Here we
I'm
go.
I'm glad to have you back on the podcast. You haven't been on the last few. You are looking hotter than ever, by the way. Thank you for coming into the studio here. And
Thank you. I had to pause Holiday Hotline in there. You know, it's Christmas in July.
Now, what channel is that on?
That'd be, am I supposed to advertise for them or what?
Yeah.
Holiday Hotline.
I cannot get you to hold the microphone right. But no,
Holiday
what channel?
Hotline on Hallmark. It's all the H's for some reason. That's just coincidence. But
you know. I feel better about watching shows with you since Bo Jackson admitted to us one time. That's all he does is watch.
Well, he said
the
he
Hallmark
watched Lifetime. He said he watched Lifetime with his wife.
Isn't that the same thing to us?
No.
It's not?
Mm-mm. Well, it might be to y'all. It's not to me. You know, Hallmark, they usually don't kill anybody unless you're, you know, watching some mystery, you know, and they all have cookies at the end, you know, even though somebody got killed. So,
you know, this is terribly inside, but I realize now why the headset worked better for you because it held the microphone and you couldn't mess with it.
Well, can you not hear me?
Yeah. I mean, you do, but you still don't, you don't really speak out. You talk internally. And, you know, that's kind of something you have to learn to do.
Okay.
You want the sound happening out here, not back
right,
up in
I'm
there.
I'm going to read that cup
not,
up there.
Not that I have a great voice, but
you see
I can get the
I'm
volume
out. I'm
about
to read
out.
What's on it, and I'm going to pronounce it really
okay.
big.
All right, go ahead.
I love the smell of rocket fuel in the morning, y'all. This is the cup he has up here, along with his JSU Golden Eagles and his Jack State little cocky that we got last week, and also his bobblehead, the Bubba bobblehead.
I noticed the matching one of that disappeared.
That was a therapeutic moment. Oh, well, you know.
So you mentioned the, it was called Lunch with the Gamecocks.
In Montgomery
we went to, and we met a lot of nice alumni that work downtown.
Yeah.
There in the Montgomery
Very
area.
Very nice.
It was a good get together. The High School Athletic Association was having a coaching clinic across the street. So mm-hmm. we had several former athletes come, but it was good to meet all those folks.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some kind of something going on across the street. Is that what you just said?
Yes.
Yeah,
I just said that, but it just came out of my mouth like 2 seconds ago, not 10. 2 seconds ago, I said that exact thing.
Well,
Are you okay, Betty?
I did not hear it is because I'm trying to concentrate on holding this and pronouncing my words out.
Are you okay?
Like I'm supposed to. I'm great. Yeah. Sitting here in Bubba on the Lake, the Mellow Yellow Studio. I'm doing great.
It's after dinner because that's when we do most of the recording.
Yes.
And I don't know. I thought maybe the red wine had been flowing in there at dinner or something.
No. I've been to Birmingham.
If it was,
today.
We're going to end this podcast pretty quick and get back in there to Hallmark.
No. I am listening to the dogs bark because apparently there's deer in the yard.
We started recording and they have been barking nonstop. I mean, not the normal, hey, something's wrong. It's nonstop.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't know if you can hear them or not. I can.
But they were watching the Holiday Hotline with me and fast asleep until you wanted me to come in here. So here I am.
The people have been asking that you come back. You've been, and look, we've had some great long form interviews. We just had Coach Charles Kelly on, which, by the way, is he not Coach Kelly?
Isn't he one of the nicest guys?
And I'm not just saying that because of the Jack State connection, but he is. You know, we've dealt with a lot of coaches, and they're all great. But he is one of the nicest coaches as far as making time for things I've ever met. Now, he may grow out of that.
He might, but I don't have, you know what I mean. I love Jack State, but I just met him, you know, not that long ago. And I don't work at Jack State. You do. So he has no reason to be nice to me necessarily, but he is always very nice guy.
And I met his wife. She's extremely nice, and she was a big fan of the radio show for many years. And
good deal. I had not
very,
met
very, very, very nice to meet
Look
her. So,
to that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. I hope he has a wonderful run there at Jack State. He's got some great athletes on campus. Now, if they can pull it together, we'll see. Mm-hmm. But you never know about that. But it'll be exciting. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting football season. And the very first game. He goes to Central Florida, who has a new coach, Scott Frost, who is now back at Central Florida after leaving to go to Nebraska, kind of bombed out there. He's back at Central Florida, and it's interesting to see if he will be able to recreate the success he had there. You know, he beat Auburn in a bowl game. They claimed they were number one in the country that year because Auburn had just beat number one Georgia and number one Alabama, lost to Georgia in the SEC championship game, and then lost to Central Florida. So we'll see. I mean, there's more storylines out there this year than you shake a stick at.
Oh, yeah.
And I know
wish
you're,
I had a comeback.
I know you're excited about that.
Since we're talking
about
sports.
Why are you playing with your phone?
Well, we're about to talk about sports, apparently, and I wanted to read this. Because apparently Harvard University study finds that you need at least two pickleball nights a week to remain healthy. Did you know that?
You know, I was going to bring up your pickleball habit. And I think I mentioned that earlier in the show. You probably didn't hear that, and it's probably best you didn't. But you devote a lot of time to pickleball.
I do not devote a lot of time. One, sometimes 2 days a week.
I know this. When I go out to eat, and men from the area will stop me and go, your wife's really getting good at pickleball.
Okay, that's because we played last Friday and we saw him Friday night. That's who you were talking to.
Well, that's then what I said is true, though.
But, I mean, I usually play on Mondays and sometimes Fridays. Sometimes it's just Monday. It's called the laid-back pickleball ladies.
Now, you
because we're all laid back.
You have quite a schedule. Now, what else do you do? Let's talk about your schedule a little bit because everybody wants to know about your life and what you do.
What do you mean my schedule? It varies. I drove to Birmingham to help our son. Tomorrow I'm driving to Jacksonville to visit with my mom. So every now and then we do that.
Sometimes
I drive with you.
Mama Walker.
That's right. She is turning 94 August 12th. So
that is amazing.
Yep. And we will be married 36 years, August 12th. And she's still asking me, why do y'all keep planning things on my birthday? I said, well, Mom, we were trying to plan it around your Bill's football schedule back when we got married. And now we're still doing that.
I know.
Trying to figure
it out. It's like it never goes away.
No.
I feel like we've come full circle in a lot of ways, you know?
Yep. Yep.
And it's been quite a little haul. So, Betty, tell me this. We've talked about you doing a podcast. Well, let me back up. Mm-hmm. You said you went to help Hunter, and you brought in you were very disgusted when you got home and aggravated.
Well,
and I understand
for the day.
Well, this is a good question, though. How do you navigate this? You've got a situation where our son, he has just purchased a house, starter home for him. Good for him. He's out of the rental business. And, you know, he's built a little equity. I think that's extremely wise thing to do. You know, we did that when we first got married. We bought a house. We lived in Jacksonville, but we had to because rent was $600 a month. We couldn't afford it. And our house payment was $325. So, right. I mean, it just made sense. We had to move out of town a little bit. Couldn't be on the prime drive where everybody lived. You know, we got out in Cedar Springs, out in the country. But Hunter, and we deal with this somewhat here, but because there's two of us, we can usually navigate it. Hunter has ordered a kitchen table on Amazon.
Right.
Terry Crutchfield, who was our realtor in that, and a good friend of yours and ours, family friend, she gave Hunter a gift card.
Correct.
And he used it to buy a kitchen table that he'll have to put together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? It requires a signature.
Yeah, which who
and
knew?
You can't just sign and leave it on the door. Not that kind of signature. It requires somebody to sign for it. Well, he works 9 to 5 every day, and they won't deliver on Saturday. So how in the Hades are you supposed to ever get your dang table?
I don't know, but had I known they were going to try to bring it today, I would have put off what I was helping him with, which was in town. I could have been in there and retrieved the table or whatever. We just didn't know. They don't let you know that either. Well, now they did let him know. Supposed to be there, you know, on a certain day. Well, he's not going to be there, and I can't be there either this time. So I don't know. I'm not sure what we're doing. So anyway, yeah, it's a little frustrating, a little aggravating. So anyway.
Well, Betty,
nothing that the holiday hotline couldn't solve. Come on.
Yeah, really. All we need is a town get together where everybody kisses at midnight
meet
everything's
magic. Meet at the gazebo
magic.
And light the tree, and it's all good. Folks.
All is good. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back. We've got one more topic to talk about, and we're going to wade into that just a little bit. We want to share with everybody because we need your prayers in this, and we will be right back.
We'll be right back.
When you need urgent care, Southern Immediate Care is here for you. Illness doesn't follow a 9-to-5 schedule, so we offer support 7 days a week at convenient locations throughout Birmingham and Northeast Alabama, dedicated to serving all ages from children to adults. Southern Immediate Care offers occupational medicine services, including DOT physicals and testing. At Southern Immediate Care, your health is our top priority. Visit southernimmediatecare.com or call 205-409-2794.
Illuminate your night fishing adventures with the ultimate in submersible fishing light technology. The Green Monster Fishing Light attracts bait fish and game fish in all water environments. Turn any dock into a vibrant feeding frenzy. Compact, tough, and energy efficient. The Green Monster Fishing Light will provide endless hours of family entertainment and enhanced nighttime visibility for safe docking. No dock, no problem. With our 24-inch portable Green Monster Fishing Light, start landing trophy fish tonight. Visit thegreenmonsterfishinglight.com.
All right, we're back, and I am joined in the studio by my better half, and I mean that with exclamation points, the lovely Betty Lou. Hun, how are you?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Well, I wanted to talk about something else, too, while I had you here. The podcast is going great, and I want to thank all of you for being a part of it. You are doing great, and we want to keep spreading the word. You know, the podcast world has a lot of, I wish we could just, you know, worry about entertaining and doing things, but you know, there's clicks and there's algorithms and there's likes and there's, hey, social media, and you got to have all that stuff going. So we're always asking everybody to do that to help us out. And we appreciate that. We need everybody that listens to this podcast to tell somebody else about it and try to bring somebody else into the loop. We need to keep those numbers growing. But we're on podcast 24 now. Our plan was to get in 40 for the year. calendar year. I mean, a whole year, not a calendar year, because we started in March. So we're a little bit ahead of schedule. And we had some weeks in there that we knew we were going to be gone or going to be holidays or something. One of the things we haven't done yet is do a podcast on the boat. Part of that has to do with the weather, because every time we go out, it rains.
Right.
Don't really want to get the equipment wet. And like I said, we've got some built-in breaks, and I also wanted to take the podcast on the road some. We're not a road show or a travel show, but, you know, if we do that when we go on vacation, I think we get to write it off on our taxes, so I think that's important.
Well, we're definitely taking this thing then. Yeah. Cayman Islands, here we come.
Here we come back. So, but one of the things, and I wanted to let everybody know about this so you could put us on your prayer list, coming up in the next few weeks, we may miss a podcast or two because I have scheduled to have a knee replaced. And this is something we've known about since I was 40 years old. When I first started taking up tennis, you got me into that. The very first tennis lesson I had stitches in my knee from my first knee scope.
Right.
And Dr. Lee Mack,
I remember that.
Yeah, Dr. Lee Mack told me then, he said, enjoy the next few years because you're going to have a knee replacement. You don't have much cartilage left then. Mm-hmm. Well, bouncing around on a tennis court at 260, we'll go ahead and grind the rest of that off for sure. And we're at the point now that we've been bone on bone for several years. Can't play tennis, can't play pickleball, can't walk through an airport. Okay, it's just
not very fast.
It's not
for sure.
And I got to stop, you know. And then when you can't be active, then you get out of shape, your breath, you know, and it just causes all kind of problems. So we got to get that fixed. And I had put it off, and I told you, I said my goal is to put it off till I'm 60, because I figured at 60 you're about dead anyway. You're old, and it doesn't matter.
So you succeeded. You're now 61.
Yeah, I am. I've made it to 61, so I'm old. I'm almost dead. I'm over the hill. So there's no need to put this off. So we, in the next few weeks, are going to get a knee replacement. And so we will probably not have a podcast that week or maybe the week after. It just depends how good the drugs are. And
we'll may have a really good podcast.
Yeah, we may. You know, in talking to the doctors and all, it looks like we're going to be on some pretty strong stuff there for a week, and then they'll kind of taper you off. But so I may be out of it. But you're going to get to be my nurse again, Nurse Betty.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Can't wait.
It is great.
Thank you, 4 years of nursing school.
It is great to have a nurse in the family, because you always have that medical expert to go to. And honestly, you know, I don't want to be – I'm not a hypochondriac by any stretch. If I was, I would not have had five knee surgeries, going on six, 2 foot surgeries, a gallbladder removed, a tumor on my liver removed. I mean, I've had my spill of going to the operating room, okay?
Yeah, so, yes, you have.
I'm not freaked out by that, especially if they knock me out ahead of time. But it is good that you're a medical professional, because like last time or one of the times, they started giving me an IV with some antibiotic in it, and I told you, I said, hey, Betty, something's wrong here. And they were like, oh, you're fine. And you came over and looked, and I had weps on my face.
Yeah, you kind of look like that Fantastic Four guy that turns into that monster guy.
Yeah, that looked good.
Yep.
So, you know, Betty can then go and talk to the nurses, and, you know, she talks the nursing language where they didn't believe me that something's wrong.
Like, hey, we got to get something in here, some Benadryl or something.
And it was on the side from the door where it started, so they didn't see it.
They didn't walk around to that side. I mean, you were like normal on one side, Fantastic Four on the other.
I know. What is that about? How can you be allergic on one side of your body? How does that even work?
I don't know. Leave it to you. You can figure it out, though.
So, anyway. You're going to have to put up with me for a few days, and we're going to take a week off work. And my goal, and I'm going to state this publicly, so I will put myself out there, and I have to honor my goal. My goal is to be back up, moving around, be semi-normal in 7 to 10 days.
Okay, that's
an aggressive goal, but I think I can do it.
You're not going to like me very much because I'm carrying you to therapy and making you do it and things like that. So
yeah,
I'm sure that'll be precious.
Yeah, because you don't want to do anything on all those drugs. You know, the one thing, and I've been through this with the knee scopes before, you know, they're real big on how far you can bend your knee. Oh, we got to have the little protractor and tell you how many degrees, you know. Mm-hmm. I want them to check it before they do it and see what my range of motion is, because I have rather large calves and I have large thighs, and they run into each other. I can't move my knee as much as some people can.
Large calves and large thighs.
Well, look at them. You know that's true. Look, you know, and if I was skinny, I had long, skinny legs, sure, you can fold them up under you like nobody's business. But mine run into each other. It's like me trying to bend over with a gut.
Into fat. You know what I mean? If that's what you're saying or whatever, that, you know, it folds.
Fat doesn't fold.
Well, I don't know.
It's like trying to cram two pillows together.
If you were going to sit on your legs, you know what I mean, with your feet up under you, it would all fold.
Yeah, but not all of them would fold the same. That's what I'm saying. You're exactly right. If I had long, skinny legs, they would fold up more than if I had mm-hmm. big, powerful thighs like I have. Legs of a dancer, some people say.
I'm not sure what type of dancer, but anyway, yeah. All right.
My legs are what got you to begin with, wasn't it? Didn't you tell me that one time?
Those legs. No.
Well, I'll be honest. Yours got me.
All 3 foot of them.
Well, they're a pretty 3 foot.
I hear the puppy now.
Sounds like somebody's breaking in the house.
The deer must be prancing around the front yard because they are like, come look at this.
So anyway, long story long. We're going to be getting a knee replacement. Please keep me on your prayer list. I believe in that prayer. I mean, I know when I've been in the hospital before and we were on the radio and the guys would come on and say something at 6 o'clock. I mean, it was like an IV started. I could tell it.
It is a peace that transcends all understanding.
You are so correct. You are so correct. You great Christian woman and godly wife. Proverbs 31, you are correct. And I could just feel it, you know. So I need that again, and we'll be updating you on that as we go. Maybe we can get a few podcasts in the can. Nobody will ever know the difference, but we'll
maybe
see.
So.
We'll see.
I'll come up with something to talk about, you know.
Yeah, people are still wanting Betty Say What. And
y'all are keeping me busy over here at the lake. And
Can I tell you, it's been a busy, year. We got a lot going on at Jack State. We got a lot going on in the podcast. Jack State fills up the day, the podcast fills up the night, and of course your busy schedule with pickleball.
I'm
and
telling you,
all the
somebody's
things.
Got to clean What's up that? Around here every now and then, take care of the dogs, the pups, the
what
kids.
What is that exercise class you go to? It's got a funny
Tabata.
Name.
Tabata.
Tabata.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tabata.
And it's basically...
You know what that sounds like to me? Some new offering from Taco Bell. Right now at the Taco Bell drive-thru, Tabaka. Or what is it?
Tabata.
Tabata.
Tabaka sounds like a Star Wars,
get
like
a Tabata to go.
Yeah. We getting a Tabata. There you go.
All right.
2, 3, Tabata.
Thank all of you for being part of Bubba on the Lake. We've enjoyed it. We hope you did. And Lord willing, we'll be back with another episode soon. Thank you for coming in, honey.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
Remember, being on the lake is not necessarily a location, but a state of mind. God bless, and thank you.
You're listening to Bubba on the Lake.
Hit me bad!
A production of Intergalactic Pants and Tees.
All rights reserved.
A lot of life can happen between sips of Dasani. You know, the life moments, big and small, that are worth getting thirsty for. Like organizing a family movie night under the stars. Or hearing an old favorite song and having an impromptu dance party. Or finding a new dinner recipe that the whole family loves.
Mm.
The crisp, clean taste of Dasani was made for all of life's thirst-worthy moments. Dasani, because life happens between sips.
Just got that new boat? Let Sunrise Docks protect your investment with SwiftShield boat covers, Neptune boat lifts, and easy ports for your personal watercraft. Plus, they have composite decking that stays cool, designed with your feet in mind. Sunrise Docks is always first in quality, first in service, and first in customer satisfaction. Right off Highway 63, your Lake Martin headquarters. With two barges and the most experienced boat lift crew on the lake, Sunrise Docks is your lake life expert. Call 256-392-5200.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Coke, Buffalo Wild Wings, Southern Immediate Care, Guaranteed Labels, Central State Bank, Sunrise Docks, Banker's Bounty, Dr. Thomas Dudney, and the Green Monster Fishing Light.
Crank up the mercury, ain't no work for today, and then he's finally free. Bubba planes off and gets to floating. He drinks his mellow yellow and he loves that lady on the pontoon boat till the sun goes down. Bubba is a pilot and knows, and he's doing fine.